Boom. Podcast 61. We sound a little better than we used to. We got some new mics, folks. We're excited. We're ready to get after this episode. Before we get after this episode, actually, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about MB Outdoors. When I say track mud across the front porch, does that fire you up? Because it fires me up. How about the proposition, you buy an MB Outdoor shirt with promo code BACKPOCKET for 15% off, and a part of your money will go towards charity to support veterans. U.S. troops, man. Phenomenal stuff. With everyone and their mom nowadays selling t-shirts and brands and hats and all kinds of different stuff, the market's kind of saturated. It's time to make a decision. It's time to step up and buy a brand that actually matters. MB Outdoors is doing big things. They're coming into their second year as a business, and it's just phenomenal. Go ahead to mboutdoors.com, purchase one of your a hat, a t-shirt, a pullover. They got all kinds of stuff. They're also doing giveaways all the time. If you follow them on Instagram, MB Outdoors Official. Andrew, what do you got for us?
MB Outdoors is doing something that matters, and so is Skyline Specs. Do you love your city? Do you love showing off your favorite city? Maybe it's where you grew up. Maybe it's where you went to school or you lived once upon a time, or you could be living there right now. But Skyline Specs is here to promote that city. They have wooden engraved skylines on their sunglasses. They are money. They are so high quality, and they're affordable. These Skyline Specs promote your favorite city. If you're that type of person, you need to buy these sunglasses. And you want to be a part of this movement? Go to skylinespecs.com and use promo code BACKPOCKET and use that discount and see what it gives you. It's going to be a sweet discount. I'm not here to tell you how much it is, but I'm just here to tell you to use it and get money, save money. That's all what we want to do at the end of the day is just save some money. So use promo code BACKPOCKET, BACKPOCKET.
Love it, Andrew. Let's get after this podcast episode number 61. It's your time to shine, marketing interns. I'm just an ordinary average guy. My friends all are boring, and so am I. We're just ordinary average guys. Today is August 6th, and the boys from the back pocket are here with new mics, Decky Fresh Mics. How are we?
Andy Fresh Mics. You're looking great over there with your new mic, man. How you feeling?
Oh, it feels pretty cool that we're talking into mics that are in front of our face.
Yeah, I'm excited to actually hear this podcast and hear how my voice actually sounds versus like the dumbed down version of it that we've used for the last year and a half. This makes us feel a lot more authentic. I mean, our content's really not going to change, but this is just like a kid in a candy shop right now, if you can imagine.
Yeah, the juices are flowing. I'm super stoked to get after this podcast and just, you know, at the end of the day, listen to it and hear what it sounds like. Because this is just new for us.
Yeah, it's just going to be a great opportunity to grow. We're obviously going to screw some stuff up. We just spent the last hour, this is easily our average quality, is we just spent the last hour trying to figure out how to record two mics at the same time. Because before it was just, you know, USB in, one mic, and that was it. One mic, everyone knows the rules. But now we got a mixer, we got three mics, and we don't know what a mono is, we don't know what stereo is, and you know, we're still trying to figure out GarageBand capabilities.
It's incredible how complicated yet how simple it is. We are making it so much more complicated than it actually needs to be, but like it's pretty much everything that we do. I mean, we always just kind of overthink it and think it's way too complicated, and then we figure it out and we're like, oh, that was it?
Yeah, and but at the end of the day, we figure it out every single time. We were originally going to record at 7:30 p.m., and it is now 8:30.
We're just starting. We're both getting a little hungry.
Yeah, I haven't eaten dinner yet, but that's not a problem because we got a sweet podcast ahead of us. So, you know, maybe we talk about some of the other struggles that we've had this week because this has been just an absolute struggle week, you know.
We've been taking punches left and right, but we're standing there strong. And you know what we say to those punches?
Love them. Good.
Good. Some punches that I want to talk about, Google Hangouts. You know, we've recorded an interview on this very episode with Keenan Logie.
Logie. No, there's no G in there, I don't think, but I think it's just Logie.
Logie?
Yeah, let's stick with that. I don't know.
I've never been the best at pronouncing names.
Yeah. But that's your thing, man. That's your humility engine.
It's very human. It's very humbling. However, you know what else was humbling? The bandwidth on a computer when we recorded this the first time. So you're going to find out this interview was recorded twice because on Monday of last week, we recorded this interview. And once we hit download, stop recording on Google Hangouts, it condensed our hour interview down to 7 minutes because the bandwidth was struggling.
Yeah, we don't know necessarily what bandwidth means. how it works or how live streaming even works, but we've seen the issue come up online with other people, and we were like, Keen's Wi-Fi, not very good. Our Wi-Fi, kind of good. I don't know. But at the end of the day, Andrew and I were just sitting there like shocked, like, oh man, we're gonna have to re-record here.
Yeah, so we reached out to Keen, and he was the man of all men, coming on a second time, 2 days later on the Thursday of last week, and hit it home again. So, you know, we tried to push out authentic content. Some of it had to be, he said some really cool things, so we asked questions to provoke those same things as last time. But that was all fun. I mean, he continued to impress us and continued to amaze us every single time. And I was so grateful that he accepted to come on a second time. He could have easily said, you guys took up way too much time, and, you know, I don't want to do this again because...
Or it's just hard to reschedule. Like, it's not easy to do an interview for an hour and then just the next couple days just make yourself available for that time. Like, that just doesn't happen. We're so thankful that Keen made it happen. Another funny thing, too, is, like, we get these mics. Andrew comes back from, where are you, Savannah?
I was in Georgia. Callaway Gardens, Georgia.
Okay, well, that's not what I was expecting. Anyway, you were there, and I pick you up. We get back. We found out that I forgot you had ordered the mics and everything.
And yeah, I just had 3 unopened Amazon boxes.
Massive boxes, and I did not even think about it.
And Declan didn't open it. I didn't open it. All right, let's open it together then. But he didn't really realize he was saving it to open it together.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, my stupidity ended up being like a sweet gesture, because then we got to open our podcast mics together, which was quite the experience.
It was a podcast Christmas, absolutely. It was a Christmas in July for podcasters.
Yeah, absolutely. Half Christmas was just recently. I think end of June is half Christmas. But what's crazy was, we come up here, we set up the mics. It's taken us now a whole week to figure out how the mics work. And we find out, unfortunately, the round table that we were cheering, praising, loving is not really that great.
Yeah, so we have these really cool things that hold the mic up. And we have
mic stands?
Mic stands, if that's what you want to call them. If they have a name, I don't know. But they're mic stands, and they have a C-clamp. And it's our round table bows out, and
it's got a fillet. It's a fillet.
You googled that one?
It's just an engineering term, but it's a slope down, so it's not squared off, so that the C clamp can totally clamp to the top and bottom of the table. It can clamp entirely to the bottom of the table, but not as much to the top, which hinders the mic structural stability, I'd say.
Yeah. So what we found out to be what we thought was the best table ever, and we thought we absolutely nailed it with this purchase, you know, we had a little setback. We might need to buy a new table, but for now, we're just going to
embrace it. Yeah, we're just, like, kind of stretching out. We're like, Andrew's like, gotta go to another lady's house and bark down a price for a table on Facebook Marketplace. Like,
not happening.
Yeah. But, you know, we'll get around to it. We'll figure it out. I want to say this table right now, I just don't think it can be trusted. I just don't think I could trust this table to take my alleged daughter on a date. Like, just can't trust a table, can't trust a guy like that. So that's where I'm at.
That's where I'm at as well. But you know where I am at is, and in addition to that, is the marketing intern spotlights have been an incredible experience thus far. We've done 3 of them. And
they've all been so different.
So different. I want to talk about the first one, Austin Doomer. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better guest. And he came on here, and he'd been wanting to come on for a while, and we finally arranged a mutual time. And, you know, what people don't really realize is how much he's helped us throughout this process, being an entrepreneur and being a guy. I mean, he's a sponsor of our show, but also he is a mentor of us.
He's a sponsor of our lives.
Absolutely. And I'm so happy that we were able to have him on and hear about his side hustle and how he calls it doable, but you can't do it by yourself. I mean, it was just super motivational, and I loved how he went out of his way to just double promote it on his end, and it ended up being a really cool experience for both of us.
Yeah, I think that's one really key point, is we weren't expecting much from it. We didn't really know what was going to come out of it, but the fact that, you know, having someone promote something that they're on is like super effective for our side and their side. Like, the cross promotional thing with the marketing intern spotlight is highly effective, which leads me to my next point of McQuaid Boo, our second marketing intern spotlight. He was phenomenal, and it's just an entirely different story. It's an entirely different person. That's exactly what you expect. He's starting his own podcast. So what it turned into is Andrew and I giving a new podcaster advice. We never would have seen that coming in, and look at it now. I mean, it's a great podcast to learn about how to start a podcast. Worked out great for content. You know, that's awesome.
So and, thank you for McQuaid. Yeah, and McQuaid benefited enormously. He just released, correct me if I'm wrong, his first podcast, or he's in the process of releasing his first podcast.
The Understandable Podcast.
Yeah, and thank you, McQuaid, for coming on and reaching out to us. And then the third one that we did, Duncan Dahl, couldn't have been more uncertain about what to expect out of this podcast.
I couldn't agree more.
And what it ended up being was 30 minutes of locking in on new perspectives of someone, how they treat time. And I did not think that was going to be the case going into it.
Right. I think that was a very, learn something new type podcast. You know, it wasn't about Duncan's side hustle, or it wasn't about like his company that he started, but you know what? It was something that he was passionate about and where he's going in life. And I think that's a really big message to push out right now, is you don't have to have a company. You don't have to have a crazy cool startup story or something like that. You just need to come on and you need to talk to us about your passion, or what you're passionate about. Like, what were you saying earlier about, like, if you're passionate about like socks, then we'd love to talk to you about it or something. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, if you want
to
come here and talk sports. We never talk sports on this podcast, but we always talk sports off air. We'd love to talk sports with you.
Why not?
Why not? And Duncan was talking about how he went to New Zealand, fell in love with the people there, fell in love with the land, and now he has a desire to go back, doesn't know exactly when, doesn't know exactly how, but he's going to go back. And what he loved about it most was the polychronic time and how he took that and brought it to a monochronic society in the United States. And those are just habits that are so hard to break. And he was just talking us through that, of like how monochronic United States is, of like what you need, how punctual you need to be, or else that other person feels like you totally abused their time. Versus when he was in New Zealand, he was talking and he went and he had a lunch date. He could show up 30 minutes late, an hour late, and he knew the other person wouldn't be disappointed because they had that expectation that they weren't going to arrive at that specific time, but they knew they were going to come eventually. So they were willing and they were mentally prepared to have something to do during the downtime that they weren't together.
I love that. And I think one thing that needs to be mentioned too is just a monochronic society like United States. Like, if you live polychronically in a monochronic area, you're going to miss opportunities. But when you go and immerse yourself in a polychronic society, you're not going to miss those opportunities. You're actually going to gain more. You're going to learn more by yourself, and you're going to immerse yourself in something that's so foreign. And I'm just excited to hear how this all ends up for him, honestly. If you don't know what we're even talking about in terms of like polychronic or monochronic,
go back and listen to Marketing Intern Spotlight number 3.
Absolutely.
With Duncan Dahl.
That's a great point. It's a great habit of ours, just getting people on, just fun conversations. That's the end of the day. It's just a conversation. We're putting it out. We're just happen to hit record. And that's what it is. And I think we've had a lot of fun with it. Can't wait to see where it goes.
Yeah. Now let's talk about our habits, because the title of this podcast has something to do with habits.
Let's decide the name of the podcast right now. Put us on the spot. Let's challenge ourselves. Come up with something cool.
Habits.
Habits. How about the habitual podcast?
That could be the title.
Living. I'm thinking like life of habits. What was it, something that Kian talked about too? We'll get to this in a little bit, but like reflecting on your habits.
Reflecting on your habits. Here, you heard it here first. This is the title of the podcast. You already knew that.
So as you were saying, Andrew,
let's talk about our habits. You know, we love the segment Two Roses and a Thorn. So we're going to combine that with our habits.
I don't want to say it right now. Actually, I will say it. We're really witty, I think, with these new mics. Like the way we were just able to put in the Two Roses and a Thorn, our favorite segment of all time. And then immerse into our segment of habits, the title of our podcast. You know, hey, look at us go. Congrats, Andrew. Big time stuff. Pat on the back.
Pat on the back. Well, let's do Two Roses and a Thorn of habits. So two pros that we believe our habits are making us better people, and one habit that, you know, we definitely need to see improvement because it's hindering our daily life. First habit of mine that I want to talk about is for all you YouTube listeners, you're watching this video via GoPro recording. And I think since we've moved into Washington number 2, where we got this sweet new octopus.
What are you talking about?
Adapter. This thing has so many different things that you can.
Octo adapter. The big ol' surge bar.
Exactly. So since we've gotten that, I have the GoPro charger right there. So right when I finish recording, I unplug it, I take the SD card out, I put it into my laptop, and then I take the GoPro and I charge it. We have not had an issue with GoPro low battery yet.
I don't miss the time when I would walk into the podcast room after class and I'm wondering if we even going to be recording that day in terms of like visual. Because it was like, oh, did you record the GoPro? And it'd be like, oh, I don't know. We'll have to go check it out. It was always a mystery. And from what we remember, power being supplied to Washington 1 was like very, very insufficient. Like we rarely had power in there. We didn't have really good heat.
We had no outlets. We had like one functioning outlet and it only worked on occasion. But now we're in Washington 2 and we're improved.
Yeah, it's big time stuff. Should I hit a thorn? Or no, sure. Rose. I like just to point out that I think about content all the time. So when I'm at work, at my day job, I should say, content just comes to me. And I'm not trying to say that like boastful, but I'm just always so passionate about it. And that's my other rose as well. It's just I'm very passionate about the podcast, pushing positivity. And because of always having my mind on that, content really just comes to me. Like I was thinking about the Keen interview today and like what questions I would ask or like how I'd respond to certain situations or like how we've reacted to these mics, like how's that going to change our conversation? And then I was also thinking about like the bad things that's happened and then reflecting all those, the average qualities. So just always the relentless content and pushing it out from day to day is really something that I have found a good habit of mine.
That's awesome. I mean, recognizing these habits and reflecting on these habits really sparks some true fulfillment inside you.
I like that, Andrew.
The other thing that I love that we're doing lately, and it's been an awesome habit, we're going to continue this habit for sure, is recording these segments after we do the interview. And this started in May when we knew in June that Declan and I were not going to be in the same location for 3 weeks. So we needed to have podcast interviews prepped. So we did 5 podcasts in probably 8 days. And then we had all these recorded. So then we already knew what the content was. And then all of our segments were directly correlated to the interview instead of, you know, recording and then doing an interview. And they were just 2 separate entities. Now they're together. And I mean, talk about niching down. I mean, this is what it's come to. And I love it.
Absolutely. It's just been really fun. It's been easier to create the content too, because you already have it fresh in your mind. You know exactly what the theme was. You took all your golden nugget. It's like, okay, now let's turn that into content on the front and the back end. I love that. Getting into little thorns. How about that? So a thorn of mine, I like to explain things for the sake of explaining things. I shouldn't say I like it. It's a habit of mine. It's something that I do when someone's like, oh, what's a Facebook pixel? And I'll be explaining it to the person who taught me. Andrew.
I'd like to add to it because it happens to me quite often when you...
Happens. You're probably the biggest victim to this, I'd say.
Sure. I'd agree with that statement.
Okay.
It's more comes to the point when you explain it and then there's a pause. Or no, you say something and then there's a pause and you're like, oh, I don't think he really knew what I'm talking about. And the person hasn't had a chance to respond or maybe doesn't have a response. And then you immediately explain it after. And then you're just like, and then I'm sitting there like, dang it, I should have said something. And then you just explain the whole thing to me. I'm like, Declan, I already knew that. But hey, man. But what I always resort to and I always tell myself after you explain it is, teaching is the best way of remembering and the best way to actually improve on your skills is when you teach it. So like when you speak it out, I'm like, all right, he's just telling himself and reinforcing how to do it so he knows how to do it properly the next time.
Yeah,
and that's what I tell myself to like say, hey, this is positive.
I think you're totally right on that. In college, I was a math tutor. And so I would teach people math and I think I got better at math from teaching people. But I think, yeah, reinforcing that statement entirely, dude. It definitely teaching helps you learn.
Mm-hmm. A thorn of mine is getting irritated about way too much. I think the small things.
Wait, say that again.
Getting irritated about way too much.
Okay. Oh, getting irritated way too much.
Yeah. Or just about way too many different things.
There you go. Okay.
Yep.
Gotcha. I was confused on how that came out.
The wording.
Yeah.
Yep.
No worries.
Like just then and there, I got a little irritated with like you cut me off. But, you know, it's inside me. I have these like little angry flames that come up and I do genuinely try to like avoid these little irritations, but they happen way too frequently. If I haven't eaten properly or I need to get something done and someone or something's in my way, I just like the dog and just pees in my room and I want to go to bed. Now I have to go clean my floor and I get super irritated about it. But she's a puppy and I should just like be like, okay, it's okay, just clean it up and then teach the dog not to do it again.
Give her an excuse.
Don't give her an excuse.
Okay.
No excuses. Yeah,
you gotta train dogs.
But simple things like that, you know, it's these are thorns of and these are bad habits that I'm trying to break.
And guess what? We break those habits, and we reflect on those habits, we're just gonna be better people overall, and it's gonna make us healthier. And that is really the whole thing Kian Locke is talking about today on this podcast. You guys are going to love it. It's just a phenomenal way to, you know, it looks at health and fitness and sleep and all this stuff from an entirely different perspective. And it really connects with us because Kian is telling us, you know, or telling whoever he's coaching, like, hey, I'm not the guru. I'm not the guy who knows everything. But, and I know that everyone else is, you know, unique and individual, and I want to help you be the best version of yourself, which I love.
Kian Locke has a strong mindset, a very strong mindset. It's a productive mindset. It's one that loves to look at things as an opportunity to be a better person, to be the best version of themselves. And he's had a lot of stuff happen to him, going from playing professional football to having a MRI done. That, spoiler alert,
major setback.
Major setback.
Let's let the marketing interns figure that one out. So, what do you say?
Let's absolutely do it. So you're going to find out a lot about Kian, but keep this in the back of your head the whole time that this dude perseveres, and he is willing to go the extra mile. He went the extra mile with us, so enjoy the ride. Today's guest is Kian Locke of the Undefined Diet and former professional athlete, and now he's on the Back Pocket Podcast. For the second time, how are you doing today, Kian?
I'm doing fantastic, guys. Good to be back here again.
Absolutely. So to give our marketing interns a little background, Kian, we are interviewing him the second time because the first time when we interviewed him, we had some bandwidth connections. We had some
minor malfunctions, yeah. Major malfunctions with the recording process. We learned. We're growing.
Yeah.
And thank you again for joining us for a second time, Kian.
Yeah, guys, I really enjoyed the first time. I can't wait the second time.
All right, so let's dive right into it. The first question, you know how it went last time. What is your average quality?
Yeah, guys, last time I said, you know, there's two things I want to address, you know, more of a surface level average quality and a more of an internal average quality. The surface level average quality, I would say, is, you know, being an entrepreneur, being able to properly manage my time and being okay with not always working. You know, when you're an entrepreneur, it's not like a regular 9-to-5 to where, you know, 5 o'clock your time's done and you can stop working. You know, I can keep going all night long. And so trying to find that balance for me is really difficult. And so when I find myself stopping, I get slight anxiety saying, oh, I should do more. I can do more. I can do more. But that's probably the, you know, more surface level thing. For me, at a deeper level, I would say, you know, being more vulnerable. I've been working on that. In the last 6 months, a lot more than I have in my entire life. You know, being from a place in the Midwest where it's good old conservative USA, where God, just put your head down, you know, be a man, and don't really express your emotions, and it's not cool to dance, it's not really that cool to sing, and so a lot of that stuff was suppressed. You know, I had a lot of internal drive to be able to dance more. I learned how to salsa since I moved down here to Miami, which is super awesome. Learning to be able to, you know, express myself more through the arts in this Latin culture I've been able to be immersed in since moving from South Dakota. So being more vulnerable and being okay with not always working, I think, are some average qualities.
That's phenomenal.
That's excellent.
I love that. I think something else that needs to be talked about, you know, men are typically not seen as ones to be vulnerable. I think that's a weird stigma that's very traditional and something that's always kind of been around. But for you, I mean, speaking of manly, your hair, phenomenal. For all the listeners right now, I'd like to describe it as a Fabio, a Tarzan. It's just a beautiful look. I wish I had that hair again. Thank you for, you know, growing your hair out, Kian. You look beautiful, man.
I got to do it for all the people that aren't doing it. You know, for myself, back in high school and college, I used to rock the shaved head. I get the shaving cream, shave it bald. So since moving out to Miami, I had to switch it up a little bit, man.
Yeah, and the last time I had engaged with you in conversation, or when, the first time we met actually, was 2 years ago at St. Thomas when you came to visit Jordan Roberts, and you had the shaved head. And then when Jordan was like, hey,
Keenan started his own thing, the undefined diet. You got to have him on the podcast. And when I did my research and I saw you had the long hair, I was like, he's a new man. I love it. He looks great.
I get so much appreciated, man. You know, dropping 35 pounds, feeling better than I ever have in my entire life. I might have been a really low body fat percentage then too, but that's where the awesome thing about the undefined diet comes in, is I'm able to substantially decrease so much inflammation that I have when I was a lot bigger. So yeah, I got the long hair and a lot leaner and feeling better than ever. So excited.
Did you ever feel a point where you felt, you know, after football, after grinding for so many years, did you ever feel like, man, I just need to stop working out as hard as I did and just kind of take it easy, or, you know, take a different path, like not squat 500, bench 300 and, you know, do all those heavy lifts? Or have you just always kind of been nose to the grindstone? You love it. You're passionate about it.
That's actually a phenomenal question. Ever since, you know, I've been having a hard time getting motivated to be able to do that. And I kind of look at it, the situation, I'm like, well, what do I really have to lift heavy for? And I think a lot of people think that you have to go to the gym 7 days a week to have a good foundation of muscle, to be healthy. But that's a lie we're told. You know, it's big industry. It's all these people saying they're trying to sell their gyms, trying to sell their programs, saying that you need to always be in the gym lifting weights. And it's not true. A lot of the days I spend, I do a lot of hot yoga. That's super enjoyable for me. I will lift weights. I do a lot of plyometric stuff, a lot of body stability and balance and functional stuff. I don't know if any of your users have heard of Animal Flow, but it's a lot of ground-based movements where you're in primal positions and you're forced to stabilize and balance in the air. And so ever since being done, I've kind of moved away from a lot of the really heavy lifts. And, you know, I'll deadlift and stuff like that sometimes. But just kind of immersing myself in as much as possible is the big thing for me, because I get bored really fast. So always switching it up, doing different stuff, I think is super important. And to get outside of the gym too. Like, you do not have to be in a gym, man. I preach it all the time, is that you can go outside, you can go for a run. You can, you know, it's not confined to going to a gym. Whatever you enjoy is all that matters. As long as you're moving, movement is king, and doesn't have to be lifting weights.
Right on. So let's dive into your story. I introed you in as the founder of the Undefined Diet and a former professional athlete, but our listeners, we know who you are. Our listeners do not. So can you give us a little background of college to where you are now?
Yeah, absolutely. I started off born and raised in the small town USA of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I played the opportunity to play college football at the University of South Dakota, where I majored in finance, which has nothing to do with what I'm doing now. So how did I end up, you know, creating the Undefined Diet? Rewind, I ended up having the opportunity to play in the NFL after my senior year of college. And I ended up getting signed by the Kansas City Chiefs. And then after that, I ended up getting cut because there was a couple injuries where they had to sign a lot of guys. And at that point, you know, there's that period where you're working so hard for so long that there's this, that uncertainty of, okay, am I going to get a call again? Am I going to get a call? And so you're working your butt off. Everything you're doing is for this one goal, but there's no certainty. And so about, honestly, a week before, I got another call from Kansas City signing me. I broke down to my trainer and I was like, man, I don't know if I can keep doing this. And the sign came, the call came. Got a call from Kansas City to get signed, third preseason game in. They flew me out. They said, yo, Keenan, all you got to do is pass your physical and you're going to play a ton of snaps in the third preseason game. They're like, hey, we got 30 tickets set aside for the Bears game, 30 tickets set aside for the Packers game for your family to come to. We know your family loves to come to the games. And I was ecstatic. I couldn't wait. Then switching gears, I end up going to get my physical. And I had a couple injuries in the past, so they just wanted me to get, you know, MRIs and those things. And I got my hamstring done and I got my neck done. Thing about me is I get really claustrophobic in really small areas. So when I got my MRI done on my neck, I was unable to finish the MRI. You know, I was sweating. I was drenched. I was like, I can't be in here anymore. I had them pull me out. And I told the lady I was having a hard time doing it, and she ended up calling the team, and the team ended up saying, hey, all we wanted was his neck's okay. If he doesn't do it, just send him on over back to the facility. And something inside of me, I can't really explain it. I know what it was now, but said, hey, you know, Keenan, you have to do this MRI. And I didn't have to from the team standards, but something inside of me was telling me to do it. So I got myself hyped up, you know, for about 20 minutes. I was walking around, got a drink of water, and I'm like, all right, let's do it. Let's do this MRI. And Ended up going inside, finished the 25 minutes of it, was drenching sweat, breathing heavy. And I'm like, all right, this is awesome. I'm ready to go. I go back outside to the car, to the guy that's driving me around, to go back to the facility, and he gives me the news. He's like, Kian, I'm taking you back to the hotel. We're not signing you. And I'm like, what do you mean you're not signing me? You know, this, 24 hours before that, I got the call to say, you're playing. And he's like, I don't know, man. That's how the NFL works. I'm going to take you back to the hotel, and you're flying out tonight. And so at that moment, I didn't know what was going on. I was texting my agent. I was texting the team, wondering what's going on, and nobody knew. So I got taken back to the hotel and ended up getting a call from the general manager of Kansas City and him giving me the news that my neck was much worse than I thought. He told me that the doctors told him that if they would have cleared me, I was a 3.5 on a 4 on a risk factor scale to get paralyzed if I would have played. And I had no idea at this time. You know, I had some stuff my senior year, but I didn't know it was this catastrophic. So got the news and, I mean, bawled my eyes out that night, man. You know, like ever since I was in third grade, I said I was going to do this and I was there. And literally a 24-hour period, get the best news of my life and worst news of my life. So that was it. I was done. And it was very sudden and abrupt, but I had no choice to go back to South Dakota. And I said I was a finance major in college. Realized I did not want to sit in an office all day and take that route. So I'm like, well, I'm not going to do that. So once again, internal voice kicks in and says, hey, I want you to ride your bike to the library and just read. And I did that for about 2 weeks straight. I rode my bike to the library, read for about 8 hours a day, and picked up every book I could. And eventually one thing led to another, and I picked up this book that changed my life. And this book was called The Biology of Belief by Bruce Lipton. And I won't get too in-depth with what it is, but it's about something called epigenetics. And basically it talks about that the environment and our perception of our environment ultimately determines our health and our future. So it's not determinism is dead. You know, it's not our genes that control our biology. It's the perception of our gene, of the environment and our environment as a whole. And I'm like, I got to get in a position to talk about this because all we're taught is that if our dad had this disease, we're going to get the disease. If our mom had this, we're going to get it. And it's a lie. And so I remember a guy offering me a job as a trainer about 3 months prior to that and called him up and said, hey, y'all take that job. And he's like, all right, you're hired. Long story short, I ended up climbing my way to the top of the company really quick and realized I was peaked out as far as all kinds of growth goes in South Dakota. And I'm like, I need to leave. So I got the bug. I'd never lived anywhere else besides South Dakota before and called up a buddy of mine. I said, hey, you want to go somewhere? And he's like, yeah, let's go somewhere warm. And we decided on Miami. Packed our cars up, drove down, and got a job here at a gym in, called Equinox. And ever since then, I've quit about 3 months ago. But that brings me, I guess, up to this point. You know, starting off in college, a finance major, getting told I can play football again. And now in Miami as a, I want to say, a life guide.
Wow. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Andrew, you want
to
start?
Yes. So I would like to start with the moment that you read the book, The Unbiased, with, is that the title?
The Biology of Belief.
The Biology of Belief. And it goes from an environment of perspective, and that kind of changes your perspective on how to handle situations. So now you're in Miami and you're creating the undefined diet. You're in the industry where, you know, a lot of information's out there. You are a health coach. You are a fitness coach. How do you remain in the forefront of changing that perspective to your clients?
Yeah, you know, as far as the mainstream goes, everybody wants to teach a quick fix. Everybody wants to say there's the overnight magical pill that you can take to get six-pack abs or eliminate potential disease. And it's a lie entirely across the board. And I think the biggest thing for me with deciding my niche of, you know, how I wanted to portray what true health was, is that all those other things, you know, the keto diet, paleo diet, Atkins, all these different diets, they're all fads. You know, the keto diet's been around for 60 years. You know, it's just randomly coming back into play and getting popular again. But what I'm teaching is truth, you know, and it's not a fad. And so the beautiful thing about it is I empower and educate people to be able to create their own sustainable way of eating that is meant to be in the long run, not something short term where you might get quick results. And I've had actually clients get very substantial results in a short period of time. But ultimately, it's about giving people the knowledge they need, the principles they need to be able to create long-term sustainable change. And that will never go out of style. You know, that'll never be a fad. It's the truth, like I said. So I think that's kind of how I've been able to stay at the forefront and almost be in a league of my own in regard to teaching this. You know, there are a lot of other people out there that have a similar mindset and ideology as me, but we're not in the same category as these people that are teaching fad diets. So it's for the long run.
I like that a lot. And I think, you know, listening to your story, and there's so many pivotal moments, and we ask that question a lot on the podcast is, you know, you see these different times when you had to pivot, you know, get the best news of your life. You go to Kansas City, 24 hours later, you get the worst news. Then you are back home. You decide to get a job. You decide to go to the library, and now you decide to go to Miami. Huge changes. It's phenomenal. How are you confident? How do you know that that's the right decision? Maybe you don't know, but how are you feeling good about what you're doing? How do you stay like passionate and motivated towards what that decision was?
Yeah, I think you talked about the right decision or the good decision. And I think what prevents so many people from doing what they want to do or following their passion or creating some kind of massive change is that they wait to find the perfect opportunity for that to happen. Right? They wait for the perfect job to randomly come into play, or they wait till their body's at the perfect body composition or all the entire environment's perfect for them to be able to create a change. But in reality, if you continue to think like that, you'll never make a change. And so the big thing I say is that any kind of change, any kind of switch up in what you're doing is the right step in where you should go. And too many people wait for that perfect opportunity, when in reality, it's just taking the right step. So I made the move. That was the right step. I made the choice, and I know it was. And so every choice that I decide to make from here on out, I know I'm being guided. And I don't really worry if that's the right choice or not. I just know that, you know, things that, like, if opportunities come into play, I take advantage of them. And because they came into life, I don't know, I think that's the big thing. It's just like taking advantage of opportunities in front of you and trusting that you are guided in the right direction. So not waiting for the perfect opportunity, but just going with the flow, really, man. That's what it comes down to, being present.
Yeah, one thing I want to make note of throughout your whole story is, and again, you followed up with that answer, is you are taking action. You are not waiting for things to happen for you. You are being the forefront of your decisions. You are making conscious choices. You're talking about these collection of choices that lead to this, that end up being the right choice, because you're accepting what happens next. You're not resisting the failure of, hey, there was something in my neck that could have caused something very extreme, and I'm actually grateful that I'm not playing in the NFL anymore, because now that will never happen. But now what am I going to do? How am I going to take advantage of my life and take control of my life? And you, I mean, the story of you just going to the library and reading, phenomenal. The story of you just saying, I have peaked working at this fitness place as a trainer. Now I'm going to move to Miami and figure it out down there. And then you end up doing your own thing as an entrepreneur. I mean, Declan and I are sitting here in awe of what you've accomplished already. And now you have the undefined diet. And I want to unpack that a little bit more. So what would you consider your title? With, you're the founder of the undefined diet, but if you were to present yourself to someone, what would be that title?
For me or for the program? Or
For yourself presenting to a potential client.
Yeah, that's actually a great question. I'm trying to figure that out, to be honest with you, because you kind of talked about earlier, you talked about, you know, I train people, I mentally coach people, I sleep coach people. Really, I don't know, it's performance coach, I would say. It's everything all around. And so that's why, you know, I've found a niche of, you know, young entrepreneurs, a lot of people actually in your guys' space, you know, learning to allow them to be able to be more productive, be more efficient with their time because of energy substantially increased and they feel better. So they're able to develop better relationships and all the things that young entrepreneurs deal with that I'm going through myself and I can relate. So really, I think it's performance coach, man. And also, you know, professional mind changer, habit coach, because that's what it all comes down to with people. And I don't believe in, you know, big, massive changes and saying, you know, thinking that I'm the guru and giving you this, okay, here's this perfect plan that's going to lead you to perfect health. That's not how I operate. You know, I operate based off the person and where they're at and creating small incremental changes. And That's ultimately what it comes down to. And that's what I think makes a great coach is your ability to be able to adapt to every single person and not have a one size fits all approach. So I think that's, that gives you a title.
No, yeah. Thank you. Absolutely.
I think that really reinforces kind of our message sometimes too, where we had a tagline or still kind of use a tagline of everyone has a story and we tell it. Well, that underneath that is more of a, when you peel it back a little bit, is like everyone's unique. Everyone's got their own kind of story behind, and they make the choices they do because of how they've been brought up. I think with what your diet does and accomplishes greatly is everyone's comes from a different background. Not everyone is you. Not everyone's kind of grouped into these different boxes of like a past athlete or, you know, just a working 27-year-old. You know, there's all kinds of different walks of life, and you are able to attack that and basically give people plans that they can accomplish it no matter where you come from. So I absolutely love where you're coming from on that. Why do you go with, you know, you say this on your videos a lot. So like if we go to the undefineddiet.com and we sign up for your program, which I highly suggest to all our marketing interns, when they go, they click on that very first video, the one of the first things you say and one of your biggest selling points is that you're not a guru. Why is that your main selling point?
Because when I proclaim that I am a guru or I am something greater than anybody else, people put their confidence in me, and that's what happens too much. You know, you look at a lot of major religions and people lose themselves in that. And at that time, they think, okay, I'm just going to take whatever this person says and take it as God's holy word instead of being able to reflect and look within. You know, they're looking for other confidence from the other person instead of within themselves. And I think a lot of times that prevents reflection, you know? And so I'm here and I've been given a message that can help a lot of people, but ultimately you are the only person that can help yourself. I'm not going to give you the magic pill, but I can guide you and ask the right questions for you to come up with the answers yourself. And I think ultimately that's what makes a great coach is, I kind of talked about earlier, is that not somebody that says, hey, you follow this or do this because I say so and it worked for me, but somebody that can be able to expose the answers for the person to be able to come up with the answers themselves. So ultimately, because I'm not a guru, you know, I was lucky to have people in my life that were very, very intelligent. They was able to pick up books that taught me a lot of information. I didn't come up with stuff out of thin air, you know, so I'm just the messenger.
That's something that we are trying to take in too. So you passing that message along gives me inspiration to continue to strive to that goal, because we always mention, like that first question we ask you, we're just average hosts, but this unique collaboration with people that come on our show is more powerful. And that's what creates the extraordinary. It's the combination of everything. And it's the humility aspect of saying, hey, I don't know it all. I want to learn from you, and at the same time I want to provide it to all of our marketing interns. So you passing that message along really helps continue for me to strive to what I want to do. And another thing I want to mention is you talked about reflection. We try to reflect on a day-to-day basis. Even on this podcast we do a lot of reflecting. Where do you find that your clients have benefited most, or what times during the day do you feel like are the most beneficial for reflecting, and what kind of activities do you do to reflect? Do you recommend?
Yeah, absolutely. And that kind of goes along. I talked about this last time with you guys, is that during my sleep coach, the number one thing that I teach to people is a form of meditation, but it's not the normal meditation that everybody's probably thinking. You know, most people are taught that you need to sit there and blank your mind. And the majority of time people think get upset and not even do it at all. But ultimately, instead of blanking your mind completely, the last practice you do, the last thing you do before you go to sleep, you meditate, but instead of blocking out all your thoughts, I want you to acknowledge all your thoughts without any bias, without any emotion attached to it. And I want you to write down that thought. It could be a person, a place, idea, a concept, something that you forgot to do that day, something that you need to do tomorrow. But ultimately, when it comes to your head, I want you to write it down on a piece of paper and then eliminate it from your mind. Go back to your meditation state. The next thought comes to your head. Okay, write down a piece of paper. And eventually, you get to the point to where you have all your thoughts from your head on a piece of paper, so you're no longer worrying about it at night, and your mind's not racing. And I think, you know, especially in the space of, you know, the entrepreneur space, our minds are going all the time, thinking of new ideas, new concepts, you know, and that's how we are. So I think getting it on paper and saying, okay, it's out of my brain, I'm worrying about it tomorrow, is one of the best ways, one, to be able to fall asleep, but two, be able to, I think, eliminate a lot of anxiety and, you know, depressive symptoms, because people get terrible sleep and they're constantly thinking, but they're able to get everything out on paper, so they're not worried about it.
Nice. I love that. The reflection aspect, I mean, we've talked about it a lot, is just so beneficial, and I think you're reinforcing that at every point. Do you have something to say?
I do want to say something. Right, so full disclosure, we had this conversation on Monday, and then we recorded now 3 days later for the second time, like we mentioned in the beginning. So I have now done that reflecting thing for 3 straight days. I have a whiteboard in my room, and before I go to bed, I stare at the whiteboard. I'm like, what do I want to do tomorrow? So I don't lay down in bed and I start thinking about what exactly do I want to get accomplished tomorrow? And I write down back pocket to-do list, personal to-do list, work to-do list. And then I write down as many things as I can think of. And then I'll lay down and then like one or two more things will pop into my head. I write that down and I've fallen asleep like a baby every single night. So I've already put into practice what you just talked about. And now I'm going to continue to do it. And I recommend all our marketing interns to continue to do that.
Dude, that is absolutely amazing. It gets me so pumped, man. That's exciting. And the really cool thing about it is you said you started off with, you know, writing down as much as you could that was already in your mind. But the biggest thing a lot of people don't realize is that we spend so much time trying to come up with a perfect idea or perfect thing to do or get all the stuff out of our heads by trying. When in reality, the perfect idea never comes to you when you're trying. It always comes to you when you're not. And you're being present and you're not thinking and you're just enjoying yourself. How often of the time does the best thought of the whole entire day come to you at the end of the day when you're laying in bed, trying to relax, you know, when you're not actively thinking? So I love that you added that part into it because so many people spend so much time trying to figure out like that their next creative idea or the next thing they should do. But in reality, as long as you set that intention, say, okay, I want, you know, the thought of what I'm supposed to do later, my next venture to come into my head at some point, all you have to do is put it out there. It's kind of like prayer. You know, like if you pray one time, should you really have to continue to pray about it over and over and over again? To me, that's a lack of trust. You know, if you're continually praying about the same thing, you're not believing that what you're putting out there is going to come true, you know? So I think that's what it comes down to, is putting your intention out there about the next thing that you want to happen in your life and then not thinking about it, because it will come to you. I guarantee you it'll come to you, just like those things came to you in that situation.
I love that. That's phenomenal. Good work, Andrew.
Proud of you, man. Thanks. Biggest growth between, what was that, 3 days ago?
Yes. Crushing it. So kind of going towards the health side of things. So what are some of the biggest issues? Like you have clients all the time coming through your doors and, you know, they'll talk to you about their problems. What are some of these problems that are coming up, or are there any kind of trends anywhere that you're seeing currently?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what, you hear a lot of different things all the time, but ultimately there's one thing that almost all people's issues come down to, you know, the reason why people aren't healthy or they're making the effort to be healthy, and it's a lack of confidence. And I think that's happened because there is so many fad diets, there is so many false promises out there that people have tried over and over and over again. And they're afraid to fail again because they failed so much. Okay, I'm going to rephrase that. They haven't failed. The diets failed them, but they perceive themselves as failing these diets. And so that's why, you know, when they end up getting to me, they're like, you know, the last three times I've tried this kind of stuff didn't work. But it comes down to not being, a lot of times, not having the confidence to be able to make that change. And so the big question is, how do you gain that confidence in yourself to be able to trust yourself to know that you can make the change? And the foundation of all of it is making tiny, tiny, tiny incremental changes that lead to small victories. And so with a lot of the time, with a lot of my clients, let's say client A, who's, you know, 35% body fat, substantially overweight, hasn't worked out in a long time. They're starting at, you know, square one. The majority of the time, all I say is, all I want you to do is have a glass of water in the morning. That's it. That's all I want you to do. And now there's clients that are much more advanced, but for these people that have a hard time getting their confidence back, they do that one thing, they have that glass of water in the morning, that kickstarts their confidence. And so that's a little moral victory. They get that little dopamine kick. So instead of reaching for that pop later in the afternoon because they're dehydrated, they're still on that, you know, that high of being able to have that water and they feel a lot better about themselves. So that's two things they change without them even realizing it. And so that's why I say I'm not a guru. I just kind of expose the way people can gain those small bouts of confidence because people are doing it themselves. You know, I just get the ball rolling, and then I might give them – next week I'll give them two more habits to practice and work on. And they'll subconsciously create four more. So after 2 weeks, I've only given them three habits, and they've made 10. And so these small little moral victories are what lead to being able to make massive changes. And the problem is with the industry is that everybody tries to say, you know what, I'm done with sweets, I'm done with sugar, I'm done doing, you know, I'm going to work out 7 days a week. And it doesn't work. It will never work because it's too big of a change for your brain. It's way too big of a change. It doesn't comply with your normal lifestyle. So it's all about making small incremental changes and realizing that it is a journey entirely. You will never wake up one day and say, I finally reached a pinnacle of health. I am entirely disease-free and will always be disease-free. You know, that's why you can never beat yourself up. You know, you're going to have days when you want to have a couple beers. You're going to want to have a candy bar, a cookie here and there. But that's life. As long as you're taking two steps forward and, you know, one step back, you're still gaining traction, gaining ground. And I want to throw a little tidbit in there for everybody out there. People love this little concept that I teach. So hope everybody's listening. You're ready for it.
Locked in.
Perfect. So in the instance when you do decide to have, let's say, a cookie or a piece of cake or whatever, keep in mind, I said decide, you are not a victim to the cookie or cake. You decide to have one of these. At that moment, you are no longer able to feel guilty about it. Everything is appreciation, gratitude, thankfulness, and you are savoring the flavor of every single little bite of that cookie that you are eating, because the digestion of that cookie literally depends on it. Your mindset while you are eating a certain food will determine how well the food is digested. So if you're feeling guilty, you're stressed out about eating that one cookie, the food's going to be substantially, the digestion can be substantially hindered in the process. So if you are having an unhealthy meal, if you decide to do that, if you decide to have a cookie, be grateful, enjoy it, because your digestion depends on it.
That's great. I love that.
Win the battles to ultimately win the war. Love in the process, because the process will love you back. I mean, you're hitting home the very beginning of how to change the mindset. I do agree with you on all fronts of a lot of these diets right now just force you to change massive parts of your plan, of your daily routine, and it's almost undoable. Only the people that are like balls to the wall committed, out of control, and that's the 1%, are able to accomplish this and stay committed to it. But small things like having a glass of water in the morning, I've been doing that now for about 3 months, and it's incredible. Doing that before I have a cup of coffee, I feel like I don't even need the coffee because my body just feels rejuvenated right away. But then the coffee, I just love the taste of it, so I'm going to have coffee anyways. But I mean, just like slow, small, simple things like that I've seen things change in my diet. And I do agree with you on all those fronts, like small changes. It's so key.
Absolutely. 100%. That's the first time going to the gym. If you go one time in a week when you haven't gone for the last month, that's a win. That's a victory. And the biggest thing with, you know, having these small incremental changes is celebrating each one, because your mind, how it works is when you celebrate something, it gets a bigger kick of dopamine. So it starts to crave that thing. You almost develop an addiction to it. You know, our minds are creatures of habit. So whatever we feed into it, it's going to crave more. And if we're celebrating these small victories, it's going to make a huge difference. At the same time, get this, this is about to blow everybody's mind here. But with most of my clients, I don't even change the food. I simply change how they consume their food. And so what, kind of like I said earlier, is having a positive mindset while you're eating, regardless of what you're eating. But things like enjoying the company of people that you're with, you know, that's, that gets you into that, you know, they call the parasympathetic state. It's relaxed and digest state, to where when you're with somebody you love and care about, your body's going to be functioning much more efficiently than if you're stressed. So put away all of your work. Put your schoolwork away. Put your phone away. Shut the TV off and enjoy the presence of somebody that you love and care about, or a friend, because your digestion is going to be handled much better. And I've literally seen results of people in terms of losing fat from simply implementing things like that. You know, slowing down your eating, eating till you feel 80% full, you know, applying all these principles. But the cool thing about these things is that they all come down to reflecting. You have to reflect in the moment when you're doing them. You're not mindlessly doing these things. And so in that moment, you're also realizing when you're slowing down eating, okay, I feel a little more full, or okay, this food does not feel well with me. Most people feel bloated all the time and they think it's normal, you know, because they're not even reflecting on the food they're eating. So literally these small changes, man, can make a massive, massive difference. And, you know, going back to what I said with being with somebody that you love and care about, you're going, getting back to the family dinner. It is one of the most consistent things across all the people of the world that live the longest, is they all have big meals with their families and people of their community. And there is a reason why they do it. So getting back to that is huge.
I think one thing that you brought up that was big time was the mindfulness. I mean, not a lot of people talk about that a lot. And, you know, for me, it kind of came across me this past semester, and we did like an exercise of like mindful activities versus mindless activities. And I'm a pretty mindless guy is what I found out. And I was like, wow, I do some like really boneheaded things sometimes just because I don't think about it. It's amazing how that small change of just identifying it and understanding that mindfulness is a big deal. And where I'm going with this is, you know, the ketogenic diet and all those different diets are massive changes. You cannot maintain those massive changes, in my opinion. And I think you could back that up as well. But what you can maintain are those small changes, those low-hanging fruits, those things that really aren't that hard to change, but over time have a massive impact. So I think just like the commitment right there to the process and maintaining and just those small things. If you're able to commit to those things, it's much better. I like it.
Oh, definitely. And two, also the thing with some of those ways of eating, the paleo, keto, these are forms of eating. When people have established a foundation for being able to actually create massive change in their life, those things can actually be very therapeutic for short periods of time. So not to say that, you know, the keto diet is absolutely terrible or intermittent fasting is absolutely terrible, because they both have phenomenal benefits, but trying to create a massive change at one time when your mind's not ready for it could ultimately lead you to failure. So I just want to, you know, clarify that as well.
One thing that you also mentioned that I have written down and I am going to be using it all the time is parasympathetic state. And I'm just kind of curious. I'd never heard of that before. And I'm kind of curious how you came about it. I just Googled it. And for all our marketing interns that want to know the definition, the parasympathetic nervous system is one of three divisions of the
autonomic nervous system.
Yep. Sometimes called the rest and digestive system. The parasympathetic system conserves energy as it slows the heart rate, increases intestinal and gland activity, and relaxes sphincter muscles in the gastrointestinal tract. So,
dude, right on.
I mean, like, that's awesome. Like, you can definitely process food easier, but it's all about making yourself feel worthy and feel like you're doing something of greater value. And am I obtaining that correctly?
Absolutely. And the biggest problem that we face as a society is that everybody lives in the sympathetic state, which is a massive stressful state, the complete opposite of parasympathetic. And you talked about, you know, the intestines working more fluidly and, you know, the loosening of the sphincter when you're relaxed. Well, we wonder why everybody's got a massive buildup of, you know, people are having indigestion like crazy, people are bloated like crazy, people are having constipation like crazy, you know, people, guys can't get boners anymore, you know, because we're living in a sympathetic state that suppresses our immune system, right? People are getting sick a lot more frequently. It suppresses your reproductive system. Guys can't get boners. These reproductive cancers are at much, much higher rates than they ever have been, which the majority of them, you know, you talk about breast cancer, you talk about testicular cancer, prostate cancer, most of them are stress-driven and people don't realize that. But also at the same time, these massive rates of depression that we're having now and anxiety, you know, your prefrontal cortex is massively suppressed when you're in this sympathetic state. You're in that stressful state. And so when you're chronically in that state, your body's going to rebel. So, you know, I talked about your digestive system, reproductive system, immune system, and your thinking component of your brain. They're constantly suppressed. You're going to have all these issues. And, you know, the issues that I named are the issues that are plaguing America today. And we think that taking a pill of some sort is going to fix that. But when in reality, what the problem is and the root of the issue is a state that we are living in. And it's not the parasympathetic, it's the sympathetic state. So that mindfulness, that ability to be able to reflect on what you're doing so you don't make the same mistake twice that's causing you to feel stressed like crazy, are so, so important for all of those reasons I named. So it's crazy how it all works, but you know, I could go off about talk about cancer for a long, you know, an extended period of time, but like it's crazy how the majority of it actually is much more environmentally and perception based.
So it's clear that you are, you know, always learning, you know, you're always trying to grow, and the fitness, the health and fitness realm, the business, the market you are in is always evolving. How are you able to stay ahead of it or maybe know the right thing? I know it's based on from person to person, but how are you as a coach trying to grow or, you know, growing your own brand and growing yourself through learning?
Yeah, I actually went through a long period of time where I would just literally, like I said, I moved to Miami and I would, when I'm not, wasn't working, I was reading and reading and reading and reading. And I think for me, being, you know, some much more of a, like an introvert than an extrovert by nature, I thought that the key to success was sitting in my room and learning as much as I could. But in reality, the real world, it doesn't matter how much you know. It does not matter how much you know. It matters who you know and who you get in front of. And so, you know, it was comfortable for me. And I'm sure it's a lot of people in this space, you know, tend to be much more introvert dominant. Just spent all of our time being inside and learning and trying to gain as much knowledge as we can. But in reality, it's all about getting out and meeting the right people. It does not matter what you know. It doesn't matter how smart you are. It is irrelevant. And that's why I see it all the time. I see all these people in the health industry that, you know, are hurting people by what they're teaching, but they're in the limelight. They're in these massive stages where they're super popular. I'm like, well, how does that work? Well, it's because they were out there talking and communicating with people and being in the scene, not stuck in their office just learning all the time. And no, it's very, very important to learn, but don't get in that state where you feel so comfortable being alone and learning that it prevents you from getting out and actually using that knowledge in the real world. And I would say the majority of my learning is actually came from that, is getting out and meeting with people and hearing, you know, what's going on with them, what are their issues, like what are they experiencing? You know, stuff that I couldn't just get from learning how the body works. It's all applicable stuff. And so I think all the best people in all their fields realize that, that you have to get out and get real world knowledge and information. And so that's what I would say is like, get out and talk to people, like figure out like what the people's problems are so you can establish what product that you want to push or what product you want to create. You know, I think with me that I did, without getting too far into like realizing a certain, you know, problem of a certain niche, I made a product based off what I knew, not off of a certain problem. And I think going back on it, I would have focused much more on finding that niche out there, that's targeted problem, before, you know, jumping into it and just using my knowledge to create a massive product. But it's helped a ton of people, but I just think it's really important to identify an issue first before coming up with a solution, really.
Yeah, I think that's a really basis thing that Andrew and I learned really early on from one of our past guests, Phil Zhao. We gave him a presentation one time, and we started out the presentation. We got two slides in, and he goes, "Well, what's your problem?" And he goes, "Every presentation, whenever you give some sort of pitch, you know, you say, 'Hi, my name, blah blah blah, and here's my company that I want to pitch to you today.'" But and then the next slide is always start with the problem, because it scopes exactly what you're trying to accomplish. It draws the audience to what exactly you're trying to fix. And from there, that's how it gives you just more leverage to present your own idea. Another thing I wanted to touch on too was when you said it's not about what you know, but it's about who you know. I would also mention that it's about what you know when you're in front of those people who you know. So you fight like hell to get in front of the right people. And then you want to show them exactly what you know. Like, you're very educated and it's obvious from this interview. But you, no one's going to know that until you get in front of the right person. And then you're going to show him what you have, and he's going to be like, "That's my guy. I like Keen. I like the Undefined Diet. I want him," you know? And I hope that's where our marketing interns are feeling as well. So that's just one thing that I would like to say to you for that. But Andrew, you have anything?
Yes. So one thing he mentioned was Phil Zhao, and he's been one of our mentors for us and helped us grow both personally and with this company, The Back Pocket. What I want to ask you is, you're talking about people that you know and how that have helped you grow. Has there been someone specific in your life that has been, that has helped you grow and been a huge contributor to who you are today? And then the next question would be, is there someone that you want to meet that would also help you get to where you want to go?
Yeah, I think for me, it's my mission to try to get in front of as many super smart people as possible. And literally, I think a big thing that people need to realize is that there is no random meeting of anyone. And so instead of just like using people in my life that I already kind of know to use as mentors, I'm literally taking advantage of every opportunity put in front of me. And I think one of the least random situations that, you know, happen and occur with people that is probably the most uncomfortable is an elevator meeting. If you're in an elevator with somebody, there is a reason for that. You're meant to influence each other one way or another. And when that happens, when you say something to somebody and say, "Hey, how are you doing?" You know, that can open up and lead to a massive conversation. You know, that's how I ended up getting salsa lessons. I said hi to a random lady in an elevator, and she was a huge dance teacher out here in Miami. And we started talking. She had a hip issue that I helped her with, and you know, we bartered a little bit, and she helped me with the dance, and I learned a ton from her. So I think it's about creating those opportunities for yourself and using almost every single person in your life as an opportunity to grow in some way. If somebody is in your life and you're not growing from them, it might sound kind of harsh, but you have to cut the ties. You're going to have to, because what your potential to give to the world is being limited by keeping yourself in that state of no growth. And so every relationship you should be in should be a mutually beneficial relationship where both of you are growing. And I think a lot of people stay in relationships because they feel bad or they feel guilty for leaving it. But in reality, unless you have kids, your obligation to people is to yourself. And once you take care of yourself fully and allow yourself to grow and immerse yourself with a bunch of other people that make you better, you can cater to so many other people and help so many other people. So for me, you know, I don't know if I'd say it was one person. I'd say it was every person in my life right now is people that can influence me positively in some way. And it's about taking advantage when those people are put in front of you, because they are not random.
You blew me out of the water with that answer. And for all of our podcast listeners that aren't on YouTube right now, I'm smiling ear to ear with that answer. I love that. I mean, how cool is it that you took that answer and you said every single person, and then the example you gave was just simple as talking to someone, engaging in conversation inside an elevator, and it led to you doing one of the coolest things that you talked about in the very beginning of the podcast is you got vulnerable, you did a salsa dance, but we didn't hear how that started. That started by you talking with someone and engaging in conversation, a moment of silence in an elevator. I'm beyond impressed, Kian. Thank you for that answer. I'm so stoked I asked it, but I mean, even more stoked how you answered it. That was a
good question. That was a really good question, Andrew.
That was a great question, Matt. Thanks for asking.
Yeah. Definitely. So another one here. We like to talk about failure on this podcast. I presented that incorrectly, I guess. We like to talk about it, but it's not something we really focus on. We try and use it as a growing tool. We look forward to failing because that's where our biggest successes come. So where have you failed, Kian, the most?
Honestly, that question brings me back to my last statement. I feel like I could definitely have taken advantage of more opportunities that have been placed in front of me. You know, with every time that I've talked to someone in the elevator, there's been that massive resistance saying, "Hey, don't do that because you might make a fool out of yourself," or it's some random thought that your mind's playing tricks on you that is not true and is not real. And so that's not really you. It's based off your subconscious of when you're, you know, your upbringing or something like that. But ultimately, where was I going? What was the question? Was
I going with that? Where have you failed, I guess?
Yes. And I guess I would say in that field, like I said, not taking advantage of enough opportunities that are placed in front of me when I knew, like in retrospect, finding out that person would have provided me with a thing that I prayed about earlier that week, you know, and truly trusting, I guess you can say that things will work out the way they're supposed to. I tend to try to control my future and think that everything is all about what I do. As long as I do this, and this, I'll get here, here, and here. And it's caused me to have a lot of setbacks because it didn't allow me to be present and just continue to take advantage of the opportunities in front of me. Mm-hmm. And so there's been a lot of like minor setbacks for that reason. Whereas other people that I've seen in my life, I'm like, how did they get that opportunity? How are they able to just randomly get that out of nowhere? And they're very, very good at constantly being present. And so I teach that all the time, but it's also a constant reminder to myself. So I think it's a lot of these little failures all the time that are constantly happening that I'm aware of, that, you know, say lead to like a big failure altogether, somewhat. But yeah, I think not taking advantage of enough opportunities in front of me.
I love that. And I think another thing that you mentioned in the previous interview that I do want to make note of is you talked about how you describe failure. And failure is, you can either look at it as something extremely negative, or you can look at it as something like it didn't work out as the way you intended it to. That's okay, but why did it work out that way? And now you can look at it and reflect, like you've mentioned prior in this interview, and because you're looking at it as something in a positive note. And again, I wanted to really make that a note because it really stood out to me the last time we talked. And that's something that I'm striving to do now, is like we talk about how we seek failure because it helps us grow, or we try to recognize it more. But instead of looking at it and titling it the word failure, look at it as a way this didn't work out as it intended to, not as a extreme negative result. There are failures that could be have that negative connotation, but for the majority of the time, it's truly something that didn't work out as intended.
Right. Definitely.
But transition and transition into one of the questions that we've continued to roll out these past few podcasts, and you've already kind of mentioned a little bit about it, but I'm going to ask it specifically now, is what is in your back pocket? And this is framed in a way when pressure becomes stress and anxiety rises. This is kind of your attributes that you resort to, your methodology in your back pocket.
Yeah. And I think for me, it's being able to see things as they are. And, you know, that takes a lot of practice and a lot of work, I think. But ultimately what it came down to for me, I think, was being able to take myself out of a situation, right? You talked about the perceived failure, and seeing as it really is. Okay, is this actually a failure, or is this opportunity for me to take another route or get something done that I was meaning to get done that I haven't gotten done in a long time? So really, I think being able to reflect in the moment and separate myself from an emotion that I'm feeling, and be able to see things as they actually are, allows me to be able to think with a clear head and act accordingly. And I think that's why, like, I mean, big games, big football games, I always was able to have my best games in those heavily populated games, because I knew that, I don't know, like, I think the fact that I knew everybody else was kind of flustered by the big scene, and the fact that it was such, like, so much pressure, right? The perceived pressure is not real. It's just something that you make up in your head. That I was able to, you know, separate myself from that and be able just to focus and handle what I'm supposed to handle. And I think that's what makes phenomenal presenters, and that's what makes phenomenal people of influence, is that they're able to break away from any kind of perceived pressure and see situations as they really are, opportunities for them to grow or, you know, spread a message of some sort. So I would probably say that's
that. That's awesome. And I love that you brought up football, because football is the game of life, and it has many lessons, many highs, many lows. You have to handle them all the same, and you've absolutely represented that. What has football taught you the most, and how have you leveraged it in your life currently?
Oh my gosh. You know, you guys played college football, and you know that every single second of your day is allocated somewhere with intention. You know, a lot of people, they have some free time. They can do your homework. They can go eat casually, or your day is completely structured. You wake up at, you know, 5:30, you go to film, you go have breakfast, you go to class. Then from class, you go to have film again, and then you lift, and you go to practice. And after practice, you get dinner, and then you do your homework. And by then, you have maybe an hour left to go to bed and relax. And you have to show up to everything on time. Everything's on time all the time. And I feel like the real world doesn't feel as hard or difficult in that regard, because of all the insane amount of discipline that was taught and instilled in me. But also too, I think for me, being a position of leadership, it's forced me to go, especially on a losing team, right? We spent many years losing a lot of games, and having to constantly keep people up, keep people positive, keep people motivated, I think is extremely hard and extremely difficult. And to be able to maintain that positivity when nobody else is, I think that taught me more than anything, you know, being able to handle situation, handle hard times in a way that you will come out of it. We'll come out of it. It's going to get better. It can get better. It will get better. So time management, but also perspective, and being able to you know, about, like, get people to come back up to a state of, like, I don't know, like joy, and that we can, you know, we do it, we can handle something.
Football, man, the game of life. I mean, it teaches you a lot, and the people that are able to utilize really what you learn in the sport, and really any sport for that matter, and take that to a professional setting or take that to a family setting, are doing really something right, because sports teach a lot, and the team environment, also individual sports, just kind of like the adversity, that's everything played into it, being intentional, having that perspective, that's very well said, and I just love hearing the answers of ex-athletes. And especially one at the highest level, playing in the NFL, having those talents, it truly hits home. And I hope our marketing interns take a lot from that. But the game of life, football, game of life, the back pocket also has a game. It might not be a life game, but is a game.
Game alert.
Game. Let's go. Yes, let's go for it. All right. So this one
doesn't come as a surprise to you, because we already recorded once and we played that game. And we're here to say that we're playing the same game, because it was great content when we played it the first time. But our marketing interns are like, game, we don't know what.
Well, I don't know what the trick is. I don't remember the game, so I'm ready for it.
Here we go. So this is the game we call Back Pocket Testimonials. And I'll start. And
please do.
It's basically just us telling you what our lives are like right now and where we're failing and maybe a couple tips.
The undefined diet would handle these situations.
Exactly. Perfect. Well said, Andrew. All right, so I'll start. Right now, I hate to say it, but I am in the midst of the Gary V diet, which for anyone that doesn't know, it's just you get away with, you know, eating shitty food and, you know, staying up late, not getting good enough sleep. When I go to the gym, you know, I don't really have much of an agenda. I probably was a week and I'm consistent about that, but you know, that's either upper body, lower body. I'll go on a run one time cause I want to, or, you know, whatever it is. And then even worse, when I go to like the marketplace, when I go to buy food, groceries, I really don't have an agenda there either. You know, I'm like, okay, might as well get some chicken, might as well throw in some veggies, rice, you know, and then of course I get Dots pretzels because they're the best thing ever. And then, you know, it's just, it's this reoccurring thing, and I work my butt off. I work like 60 hours a week and it's overwhelming, but you know, I want to know, like, what can I do first? What are some of the low hanging fruits? Where do I attack?
Yeah, I think I think it's pretty common amongst the entrepreneur population. And that's why I love, you know, working with people like you guys and people in that space. And to start off, I want to kind of go back to that chicken you talked about, just kind of a little paradigm breaker that a lot of people think is good, but actually isn't. You know, everybody's kind of taught to eat, you know, chicken and rice. But in reality, what most people don't realize is the chicken that they're eating is highly, highly inflammatory. These chickens are pumped with steroids, antibiotics, are fed highly inflammatory foods like corn, soy, genetically modified corn, soy, and wheat. And so what chicken we're eating now is not chicken of what it used to be. And so the mainstream will teach you, hey, you know, you should eat more chicken because it's a lean meat and it's good for you. But in reality, it's not. So there's a lot of people are very confused because there's so much conflicting information. You know, that's going to mess with a lot of people's heads. He's like, well, I was told my whole life the chicken's good. Well, that's most people. You know, like, is meat good or bad for me? Is coconut oil good or bad for me? You know, should I eat these vegetables? Should I eat these vegetables? There's so much conflicting information that a lot of people just say, screw it. And I don't know if you're in that boat or not, but a lot of people do. And so that's the second part of the undefined diet, is, you know, breaking a lot of those paradigms of what people think is right and true, what actually isn't. But on the other side of it, I think really getting to you and from a subconscious level and getting you to realize how important your health actually is. And there's this theory I'll get too in depth, it's called the triage theory. And basically what this theory explains is that in the present moment, your body does what it can to preserve itself as much as possible, right? To live on and reproduce. So right now you may feel good. You might feel like you have the energy you need to go through your day. You might feel like, you know, you're still lean, you're still healthy, but that's only short term. And so the body will sacrifice long-term health for short-term gain. And so what's not happening is when you're not feeding yourself properly and getting enough sleep and managing stress properly, is that all of the nutrients and all of the resources that it's intaking are being used to preserve itself in the present moment. They're not clearing out plaque from your arteries. You know, they're not worrying about clearing out garbage from your brain to prevent Alzheimer's. And so each organ in your body has a shelf life, and there's only so much damage you can put on it until it gives out. So health now does not equal health later. So getting into that mindset that, okay, I feel good now, so I can keep doing what I'm doing. It doesn't work. That's not true. And so that's what gets people in trouble in the long run. So I think having that kind of paradigm shift is really important. But also, too, for you, I think it's important to reflect on your upbringing and the habits that you've had going through your life and growing up. You know, those pretzels are probably things that you had when you were really young, right? And I don't know.
We found them recently because our buddy works at Target, and he's like, dude, you got to try these. And this has probably been 2 weeks in.
They're not healthy, okay. But they taste good.
Dots pretzels are phenomenal. It's North Dakota brand. It's just I have nothing but great things to say.
Well, I need to try them.
There we go.
But I think ultimately what it is though, with a lot of maybe the other habits that you have, for example, some people, they're taught to sit at the dinner table until they eat all the food on their plate. And so for the rest of their life, they continue just to eat all the food on their plate and not listen to their hunger cues, say if they're full or they're still hungry. And that prevents them from stopping eating. So I think for you, it's identifying the habits you feel like don't serve you and being able to reflect in the moment and changing the way you're doing that with this new awareness that, you know, health now does not equal health later. And so reflecting on the habits you have. And so that's where from there, it's like, okay, I exercise how much do you exercise right now?
Like 3 to 4 days a week.
3 to 4 days a week. Okay. I say that's not bad. But in regard to, that's how I myself work out probably 3 times a week tops intentionally. But I think what it comes down to is shifting your mindset and being able to, see things in a little different perspective to create change.
Thank you. And that's the true undefined diet. I think that's what I mean, at least what I'm taking away and doing my research, looking on the website and seeing everything. You really have tried and you've done a phenomenal job. And I do believe this is your true mindset of passing that same message along of perspective, of having these habits, but tweaking them in a way that brings a little bit more happiness, a little bit more fulfillment inside you. And that will ultimately lead to a healthier life. It's not those big, like we've mentioned prior, it's not those big changes. Declan doesn't need to just stop eating Dots pretzels or doesn't need to stop doing something. It's more of just stop looking at yourself like, hey, I know I'm getting away with something and I'm just going to try to continue to get away with it. It's more like I need to notice that this is what's happening and try to take advantage of this. And that's kind of where my testimonial is going to be headed towards the same direction, because I am 22 years old and God blessed me with a fantastic metabolism, and everyone will look at me and be like, wow, you're really fit and you must work out a lot, blah, blah, blah. And I really am just trying to stretch right now because that's where I feel like it's my biggest flaw. And I haven't been in the weight room since football ended, and that's been about 8 months. So I've just been doing yoga and trying to improve like my hip flexors and my hamstrings, blah, blah, blah. But I know that will help, but also not treating my body right will also take a hinder eventually. And one thing I've noticed very prevalent in my day-to-day life right now is my acid reflux. And it's happening with almost every food I eat, not just high acidic foods, but every single thing I eat. And it just gets stuck in my throat and I have to burp like constantly just to make myself be able to like breathe fully. I just was curious if you have any recommendations and try to like, can you fix me, please?
Yeah, definitely. And that's the thing is it's not going to be an overnight process, but I do have a program that's specifically designed for being able to heal and reverse that kind of stuff. But I can tell you right now, one of the worst things that you can potentially do is take an antacid. So anybody that has acid reflux out there and they take something to prevent the acid from building up and accumulating in your stomach, I would probably recommend not doing that and getting to the root of the problem. But ultimately, when you take antacids, what happens is it prevents the release of stomach acid or hydrochloric acid to help break down the food in your stomach. And so when you cut off that supply of hydrochloric acid, that leaves food undigested and it passes through the rest of your digestive tract undigested, causing a multitude of issues in your small intestine, into your colon, into your large intestine. So that's what happens when you end up taking these antacids that over time, it's going to cause a ton of bigger issues. And so, like I said, I don't have a ton of time to be able to get on here and talk too in-depth about that. But if you guys have me on next time, we can specialize in talking about, you know, indigestion. We can talk about bloating. We can talk about constipation. We can talk about that whole digestive tract and help, because everybody struggles with that stuff, man. Almost everybody does. But you may not realize that stress can also contribute to that quite a bit. But it's probably a lot of a lot of the food you're eating, and a lot of you're probably not even realizing. You know, I talked about the chicken a little bit. You know, it's the same thing. It's probably foods you don't even realize that could be potentially causing it to get worse and worse.
Thank you for that response, and I'll take some notes. And I'm also gonna. We take pride in this. We love verbal handshakes. And since you just mentioned you'd love to come back on the show, we would love to have you on the show. And that's an absolute guarantee. We're going to have you on later, maybe in a few weeks, maybe in a couple months. But we know you're going to be a reoccurring guest because this interview has been phenomenal so far. And you've done it twice. And I mean, you continue to impress us with new answers. And hearing this content has been phenomenal. I know our marketing interns are taking away a lot. So let's kind of wrap it up and get to the back end. We have two final questions. Is that cool, Deck?
Dude, for sure.
Awesome. All right. So the first question puts the ball in your court. Do you have any questions for us?
I think probably the question I would have for both of you guys is, obviously you guys took the leap and you're doing what you love to do, right? You're podcasters, you know, so people talk about all the time. You're with your buddies kicking and hanging out and you talk about, you know, all this conversation we just had, we should start a podcast, man. What influenced you guys? Got you guys to the point to say, let's actually go through with it, because most people talk about it but fail to take the action step. You know, so I think for everybody out there, like, what did you guys do to finally get yourself a point to say, let's do it, let's take the step?
I think so. We initially got passionate about podcasting when we were going into junior year of college. Andrew and I both listened to Part of My Take. And for people who don't know that show, it's just two average dudes who talk about sports, and they started, you know, with a decent following in Barstool, but now they've exploded to like one of the top podcasts. Still the same two average guys that are just really, really funny and really passionate about what they do. Andrew and I listened to that in our cubicles and our internships over summer before junior year. We came into junior year and, you know, we had always had this connection of, you know, not always being given what we wanted. We're in football specifically, where it's like, you know, we had to really work to get to where we wanted to be in the St. Thomas program. So we automatically generated that connection through the weight room in the off season and even in season. And we really developed a good relationship there. And we really thought like, okay, if these two guys can do it, we can do the same thing. We just got to commit to it. So we, you know, took 6 month hiatus,
6 weeks,
6 weeks, sorry, not 6 months, 6 week hiatus, came back second semester of junior year, 2017.
Yep.
February of 2017, we scheduled the time to go to Best Buy to buy a mic. And from there on out, we haven't looked back. And you know what? It wasn't perfect at first. It wasn't like a thing that came to us and we were like, oh, we're, you know, glorious podcasters. Like, no, we would talk to each other. We would get our friends on, and eventually we got our professors on, and eventually we got other guests on. But the whole time we were always just passionate about putting content out. And I guarantee you it wasn't good content at first. Like,
it's all about perspective.
Yeah, it's laughable to us, but you know, to you and to other marketing interns who haven't heard our very first podcast episode, definitely go back. You might actually learn something. But back to the point, we just put that content out there. We were passionate about speaking into the mic and we just did it. And you know, we continued to do it. And that's pretty much how we started. And we've continued on that progression upwards ever since. And the passion's always been there, and it's always going to be about the passion.
Mm-hmm. And we get this question a lot, and I do appreciate you asking, because I do like answering this question and how I'm showing our marketing interns how it started. And it started with that first action of the $40 purchase of a mic. And now look at us. We have these cool mics using them for the third time. That's right. 19 months later, we got new mics. But another thing to note is Declan and I, we started our friendship, and we gained a friendship through hardship. It was on the football field. We both did not see the limelight in the way the starters did. We were role players, scout team players, but we worked our butt off, and we did not care if someone showed us that recognition or not. We knew we were working as hard as we can, and one day it'll pay off, whether on the football field or it'll pay off somewhere else. But we loved the game and we loved moving forward, and that has transitioned exactly to this podcast. We knew right from the start that we were going to be at the bottom, but we started to put out content, and then we fell in love with it, and it's just been an uphill battle since then. No matter what anyone says, if we've taken downward spikes and going back up, to us, it's been an uphill battle of just saying, this is what we love, and we're going to continue to push content out. And I mean, other guys that are starting a podcast, it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be behind a mic that looks like this. It could be recorded on your phone, but just record. If you want to start a podcast, if you want to start anything for it, Keenan has spoken the message through and through, and we want to continue that message of take action, trust what you're doing, and look at it as a way of growing and not as a way of just like, I'm struggling with this. But you are a perfect example of, and it's kind of very similar to us, of saying something did not happen, or something happened to us that we did not expect, and it was kind of negative. It was very negative. You got told you were never going to play football again, and at a professional level, or when you made it to the professional level, and then you had to make an adjustment and figure out, adjust and go and move forward. And so your message speaks through and through with our message. I'm so happy that you came on. But now we'll finish with this final question, is a question that continues to push this message of just learning. And it's a question that is, what did you learn today from the time that you woke up to when we're recording right now?
Ooh, today, I think the last couple of days in particular, I've been putting some things off that I should have done and finished. And I think everybody does this. You know, we have little things that we forget about that we should be doing in order for us to move on. And I think every day it's a learning process of getting those things done that you know you have to be done for you to move forward. And so I think it's a continual learning process, and it's not second nature for me yet to do that. But I think that's one of the best skills that people can learn. And that's why I'm working so hard to do it and get it done, is learning how to consistently get the things done that you identify as the most important, and not use all the other things around you as not thinking you're being productive, but you're not actually being productive. Or you might be responding to text messages thinking that you're being productive. You might be getting on Instagram and, you know, responding to messages or talking to people and think you're being productive, but you're actually avoiding what you actually need to get done. I think everybody does that all the time because our minds feel safe and comfortable doing these normal things that we perceive as actually making strides, but learning to get the stuff done that needs to get done and identifying them is what I've learned more from today.
Excellent.
I love it, man. It's just great messages being pushed across all platforms right now. And one thing for the marketing interns that they need to know is not only have we interviewed you once before and it went sun up to sundown, but we are now interviewing a second time and it has gone from sun up to sundown. Content never sleeps, man. You know, people will take vacation. People will, you know, go on trips with their friends, but content will never take a day off.
Never. Always. I love that phrase, man. I'm going to use that. I'll let people know you told me too. So I'll pay you $1 every time you use it.
Thank you. CC, the backpack pocket always, man. Thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate your time.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me. And as always, I'd love to come on again. I can't wait.
Thank you, Keenan, for coming on our show. Man, two times in 1 week, and the content gets better every time. I'm so looking forward to the next time we have you on.
Absolutely. Andrew, were you worried at any moment about coming on, interviewing him for a second time in like 3 days? Were you like, oh, man, I don't know if we can get the same content that we did last time?
The only thing I was worried about was him having time available to come on again, because I knew if he did, his message would be super consistent and there would be even more evolvement to it, because he knew it. He knows what's coming, and we knew it was coming, and we just grew together that first time. So the biggest improvements from 1 to 2, and I knew that. So I was just super stoked to do it twice.
Confident in that. Absolutely. I totally echo what you're saying, man. It makes sense. And what's great too is, you know, I was worried we were going to have like a little bit of problems like condensing it down, because we knew
everything. If it was going to get shorter. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just worried it would go from like, originally it was like an hour 15 and then we interviewed him again.
It was hour six or something.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Phenomenal stuff. Anyways, thank you, Keenan. We cannot say it enough. Thank you, man. We'd love to have you on again.
Parasympathetic. That's what I learned.
Hell yeah.
Dude. I learned a lot, but parasympathetic, I learned that for sure. And I'm going to keep that in my back pocket. But transition to the back end, to our favorite segment, and we're going to talk a little bit more about what I learned.
Ooh, nice. Good transition.
Yep. Back-end members, thank you so much for making it this far. We appreciate you, and you know, if you made it this far, you probably like our content, or at least are...
have enough time.
Yeah, to give our content a chance.
How about this? They're giving us
their time. So thank you for giving your time to us. And you know what? We're giving it right back to you, because you're going to learn more about yourself. You're going to learn more about us. And you know, you're going to learn about what we learned today.
What did I learn today? I'm going to keep it very short and simple. I'm going to take the Decky Brown method, where it's just a simple fact. And this is something you can use at a cocktail party. Bees are the only other species who are able to share how they got to a location with another bee without actually showing them how they got there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes entirely sense. What is it? Do you know what that thing is that allows them to communicate?
No, but us humans be like, it can tell you like
Snapchat how to get maps.
Or you GPS. Can even just be like, Declan, this is how I got to this place. Versus a dog would have to go to the other dog, take them to that place, show them there, and then they know that
trace location. The path.
Bees can just do what I just told you. Like, this is how you're going to get there.
Yeah.
Through their antennas.
I'm going to do some more research.
Through their wings.
Yeah. I'm curious as hell on that, because I want to know how they communicate. You know who probably knows is Matt Heron, because he just knows everything. Our roommate. He knows everything. So here we go. What did I learn? I learned that I am, and this is kind of what you do, you know, talking about like in the moment, you know, what are you learning right now? I'm eager for Gary Vee, man.
You just went there and you hadn't had a chance to talk about it because.
Right. Oh yeah. Cause we're recording a couple days.
The day before.
Okay. So, now I can't really talk about that. Can I? Can we just talk about next podcast?
We'll definitely talk about next podcast. Let's talk about how excited you are.
Yes. Okay, so here's pre-decal, Gary V.
Go.
All right, so I'm eager for it. I really don't know what to expect because, you know, you see these one-minute videos and like 1 to 10 minute clips of Gary Vaynerchuk, and they're always mashed up into these different things. I want to see what an entire 30, 45 minutes is like with him, and I want to see how he interacts when the lights aren't on. And I'm sure there's a guy probably filming him the entire time, but I'm going to the after party. After the show, because not to brag, Giselle Ugardi, recent guest on the show, got us into the after party, so that's a big deal. So I want to see what he is doing when the lights aren't off. Like, what's his integrity look like? And I'm not challenging that, but I just want to know, and I want to document that. And I just want to meet as many people as I can. Like Kian had mentioned before, man, never say no to an opportunity. I'm going there by myself because you're going to be at Lollapalooza having a blast. So I'm literally showing up by myself. Like, I'm just ready to interact with anyone and everyone. It's going to be an awesome time.
You are going to crush it. I know that's a fact, and I'm super stoked and excited to find out how it goes. I'm only expecting great things. Even if you don't think it's great things, it will be great. But that's what we learned. I hope you marketing interns learned a ton. Let's transition to a positive note and finish off on a positive note. One thing that I do want to duly note is the GoPro has been cooking for 20 minutes and has not stopped recording.
Let's give it up for the GoPro.
Thanks, GoPro. Let's give it up for these mics, because I feel like we're sounding pretty damn good. And I have them in a blast, kind of like tilting my head and like looking into the mic.
This just feels like more like a podcast now. I don't know if that's – we've run a podcast for a year and a half, and that is a podcast. But to us, this is like – oh,
I feel like podcast. My voice inflection is just – through the roof right now. I'm like I'm going high to low, and I'm speaking really loud at times, and then
unique New York.
Ow,
now brown cow, you know
that. Peter Piper picked a pickled peppers.
Ooh, nice, dude, that was sick.
All right, let's get the feel good story. You know what never sleeps? It's content and it's freedom.
I got a little bit on this,
please.
So people, they'll go on vacation, they'll take time off, they'll go hang out with their friends. They'll go have a lot of fun, you know, do what they want, do as they please. But content never takes a day off. Always remember that. And, you know, Kian, when we said that to Kian, I think I said something like that. And he wanted to use it. And I was like, wow, I kind of just made that up.
It's a pretty rewarding feeling.
Yeah. I was like, all right, cool. So we got to reinforce it now. And, you know, and the feel good story there is just like, oh, I feel good about, you know, pushing something out that someone else will use. And I hope our podcast, our marketing interns, you know, take the stuff that we say seriously at times, I hope, and apply it to their lives, and then go tell other people, which is exactly the role of the marketing intern. So anything to add on that?
I love you, marketing interns. And I know that you guys, and I want to reinforce this again. I know that you guys have been doing your part and spreading the word of mouth, our favorite way to market, really our main way to market. And it's been super cool going through these 19 months with the blue snowball. And now being able to record on these things, the growth that we've had, it's been fantastic. I love this process, and I love being on this podcast with you, Declan Brown.
Absolutely, Andrew. I'm thankful for you. Thankful for the marketing interns, man. Can't wait to where this rocket ship's going, man, because it's going pretty fast. So take care. Hope you guys have a great one. Podcast 62. See you then. Love you guys. Take care.